a special episode of BulaNetwork.com. Are you down and out? Are you just coming out of being down and out? Or maybe you just are entering into being down and out. We have all been there. I'm going to share some very personal stuff. Maybe we can learn a few things. Maybe I can even learn a few things from the past. We'll do it next. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Kentra, your host here at BulaNetwork.com. I hope to provide you some, I don't know about useful information, but let's call it useful insight. We have all been down and out. And when we are in the middle of being down and out, man, it just seems like it will just go on and on and on forever. And so many people get discouraged, and so many people feel alone. And logically, we probably know that it's rather foolish to feel alone, because we know everybody feels that way at some point. But we get blinded by our fears and our discouragement. And sometimes, yeah, we feel sorry for ourselves, and sometimes with good cause, puts our head in a place that can be very, very tough to get out of. Now, today, I'm not going to be talking about people, and this may apply to you, by the way. There are people that do need some help to get through problems. No, I'm not talking about the crutch of alcohol or illegal drugs. I'm talking about, it's not a crutch. I'm talking about the help that people need to get over a problem, to get over a difficulty. There are people who do have diagnosed depression. There are people who do have brain chemistry issues that require medical, perhaps psychiatric attention. No harm in that. No shame in that. There shouldn't be. As many people as have come forward in recent years, and for some reason I'm thinking of, I went completely brain dead. I'm thinking of a 60 Minutes reporter. Come on, help me. Passed away not all that long ago, I think. That's terrible. Mike Wallace. That's who I'm thinking of. Mike Wallace. Thank you. Mike Wallace, you know, I remember him coming forward decades ago as having battled depression. We recently lost Jonathan Winters. I have been a fan of Jonathan Winters since I was a kid. There've been two funny men that I have thought were funny for as long as I can remember. Zero Mostel and Jonathan Winters. And Jonathan Winters certainly had his issues. And there were many times that he required professional help. It's sad, but that's just the reality. That's just the reality of life, or it was for him, and it's the reality for a number of people. And I rather suspect it's the reality for a lot of people, but they won't face that reality. They won't get the help that they need, or they won't accept help, or they won't stay on course with the help that they've been given. I rather view it like I view anything else, to be candid with you. I view it as, don't you want to put yourself in the best position possible for improvement? let's just use the word improvement. Let's stop using the word, at least for today. Let's stop using the word success or failure, winning or losing. Let's just use the word improvement. Because really all that has to do is with where you are right now versus where you would like to be or where you could be. No matter what your state is right now, it could be better. Sure, we can all say that. It could be better. Then now the question is, how can we get it to be better? And I know people who seemingly sabotage themselves at every turn. They get good advice. That advice might be medical. It might be psychiatric. They get good prescriptions, let's say, for whatever might ail them regarding their mental health. But just like a person who is carrying about 100 pounds too much weight and is not fit and is suffering all kinds of ill health, and the physician puts them on a regimen that will help that, and they say, nope, I'm not going to do it. Well, yeah, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I mean, what do you do? I used to try to persuade people. I used to really, because I'm a salesman, and communicating with people, getting a point across to people, helping the lights come on. For me, it was less about persuasion. Well, no, it was about persuasion. That wasn't, for me, the word that always came to the forefront of my mind was understanding, which I guess could be translated persuasion. I wanted so desperately to try to help people understand. It doesn't have to be this way. I exhausted myself. I don't mind telling you, I just exhausted myself. And I realized at a few points in my life, I didn't have enough in the tank for my own problems. I am a magnet for people who have their toes off the ledge. And I'm a magnet for people who have their toes off the ledge because I am so communicative. I have not taken that as a curse. I have taken that as a blessing. Case in point, I'm the guy who can have an hour-long phone call with you, and at the end of the phone call, I'm going to know as much about you as I can. You'll hang up not knowing too terribly much about me. It's just how I roll. I'm not complaining, or I'm just stating a fact. And those people that know me well can certainly corroborate that. I'm going to try to find out what's going on with you, what's happening with you, and how can I help? Now, that's great on one hand. It hurts me in another, in that I find myself becoming so vested in people's lives and in trying to help them understand. I can relate to Jonathan Winters. I can relate to the face of a person on one hand versus the face of that person when the rest of us aren't looking. I don't know what it is. We could certainly see that Jonathan Winters was not right. I mean, his comedy was utterly brilliant, but he was such a standout talent. You just kind of knew he's wired really different. But how many tortured souls have we seen or read about who, in front of a microphone on a stage with a spotlight, were incredibly entertaining, but meanwhile, back home, demons are floating all around them, and they're battling all kinds of issues in their head. Some succumb to alcohol and other forms of self-medication. I can relate in this regard. I'm certainly not at all putting myself in the category with those kind people. A, I don't have their talent. B, I don't have their demons either. However, I can relate in the sense that I know what it is to have your toes hanging off the ledge. And I can know what it is to kind of be alone in your head with your thoughts and battling things. Just battling your own fears, battling your own paranoia, battling whatever, you know, your own sense of reality. And your sense of reality, by the way, might be real. It doesn't have to be imagined. I think there are some of us, yes, I include myself. I think there are some of us who have heightened sense of situations and of people. And I think that can benefit us, but I think, yes, that can also hurt us. Now, the pace of today's show, if the pace of today's show is too slow for you, as I'm looking at the WAV files as I'm recording, no, I don't edit, and I'm not. It dawned on me when I sat down prior to recording that the pace of this show would certainly be probably slower, and that, you know, it might be something that I would want to handle in post-production. And I'm just telling you right now, here at about the 8-minute mark or so, or however, 11-minute mark, I should say, I'm not going to do that. So I'm not going to apologize for the pace. Today's show is a very different topic, and I happen to know that there are some of you who are battling some things and facing some things. And so this is not intended to be some kind of a morbid, sober kind of a conversation, but it is intended to be a serious conversation, because I think this is far more universal than we want to believe. I know that these kinds of things don't go over well, in that I know that this isn't the kind of content that people typically want to listen to necessarily, but I'm going to do it anyway, because I happen to know that there are some people, and I happen to know that there are some of you, yes, you, who are facing some circumstances and situations, and you're feeling somewhat despondent. You're feeling a certain degree of despair. So with all of that behind us, for whatever good that does you, let's talk about the universality of this thing, because from the king on the throne to the pauper by the wayside, it happens for all of us. There's little doubt that some people have a tougher row to hoe than others. But at the same time, there are people who we look at them and we just, man, their road just doesn't seem nearly as tough as ours, but they may have a tougher row in areas that we are completely inexperienced about. Take, for instance, just money. There are many, many, many people who believe that money will answer any problem. Typically, these are people who have not ever had enough money. But I got news for you. The richest people on the planet don't have enough money. It could be that Bill and Melinda Gates don't have enough money, not because there's anything that they want, but now they're flying at an altitude that's foreign to me and you. And they're looking at global issues. They're looking at world hunger. They're looking at peace. They're looking at worldwide clean water. These are enormous problems that demand enormous resources. Yes, more resources than they've got. Now, as a person of faith, I happen to believe the scripture. When Christ said, "The poor will always be with you," I believe that. As much as I hate the fact that there are people who are living in poverty, the fact is, I don't think I can do anything about that so far as solving it globally. Can I help an individual here and an individual. Yes, absolutely. I think I can. I think you can. Should we? Yes. Does this mean that we are going to exterminate poverty from the planet? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm not being a naysayer. That's just, that is the practical reality of it. Do Bill and Melinda Gates believe that? I don't know if they do or not. I know that they're on a worldwide mission to try to exterminate it. And that will take all the resources that they can find, and they still will not have enough. It just speaks to the point that enough is never enough. It just depends on what problem you're trying to solve. If you're trying to solve, I want three really nice cars in the garage, problem solved. Bill solved that problem decades ago. I want a house, 20,000 square feet. I want great art. I want a great secure compound. Problem solved. He solved that problem a long time ago. Worldwide hunger, worldwide poverty, problem not solved. Problem's never going to be solved. Bill and Melinda Gates, hey, I admire the philanthropy. Do not get me wrong. But when you're chasing a problem that big, there's not enough money to solve that problem. All that speaks to is the magnitude of situations. It's that one man's ceiling is another man's floor. What one man sees as a pretty desperate situation, another guy sees as great success. If Mark Cuban's income went to, I don't know, pick a number. Let's pick a really robust number. If Mark Cuban's income dropped to $100,000 a month, he would be in complete, utter despair. What about you? What if I called you up and said, for the next 12 months, I'm going to send you a check every month, and every month you're going to get a check for $100,000. That's $1.2 million. Mark Cuban has not sniffed $1.2 million in annual income in forever. I mean, that's poverty to a guy who's been flying at that altitude financially. No, it doesn't make him better than you. It just puts him in a different place than you. His perspective is different than you. His resources, his assets, and his liabilities are different than yours. The complexity of his world is different than yours. I'm not saying it's more complex. His world is complex to him. Your world is complex to you. If you were to trade places, you would both be vexed. You'd both be vexed. Come on, let's face it. Have you ever run a sports team? Are you as into technology and entrepreneurship as Cuban? If you were to get in his shoes, you'd be lost. Now, take those things away from him and put him under the gun to make rent, find a way to make rent. I'm not saying he couldn't do it, and I'm not saying that you couldn't do it. That isn't the point. The point is the circumstance would be completely foreign to both of you. Put him in your situation, and he might well say, man, life, give me all this in the Dallas Mavericks, by the way, have not had a good year. You know, put me back in the hot seat with the Dallas Mavericks, put me in the hot seat with, you know, whatever else he's got going on. You know, get me back in the Shark Tank. I'd rather have that pressure than this pressure that ordinary people have to make the rent. And man alive, here comes summer. We hope the air conditioner doesn't break because we don't have the money to fix it. It's all perspective, folks. It's all perception. No, I'm not saying that it's all in our head. It's not all in our head, but boy, a lot of it's in our head. Because we're just like those cattle. They stick their head through a barbed wire fence. You see it all the time in this part of the country. especially, you know, when the grass starts greening and they're standing on green grass. You can go to any pasture and you'll see this. They're standing on green grass and they are craning their neck. They are letting this barbed wire injure them. Well, not injure, but they're, you know, they're leaning into barbed wire now to try to strain and get a piece of green grass that's outside the fence. We do the same thing. We look at cattle and go, man, they're stupid cow. Well, who's the stupid cow? Sometimes we are. I know whereof I speak. I'm thinking of a few times in my life. I'm thinking of a time when I was younger. Life hasn't always been on the upward curve for me. Anybody that tells you that, I question that. I don't care even if you were a trust fund baby and you were born with a silver or gold or platinum spoon in your mouth, you've had some difficult times. Maybe you haven't had financially difficult times, but you've had other times. Well, for we mere mortals, I've had tough financial times because I have ventured. I have risks. I've risked some things, and it's not always worked out. I mean, I've talked in the past about how I've, you know, I lost $50,000. That ain't chump change now. That's meaningful money to me. It doesn't mean much to Mark Cuban, but it means a lot to me. Lost it. And I didn't think I was being foolish, but you know, I trusted somebody and yeah, to this day, I don't have it back. Oh, he continues to tell me that, you know, he's never welched on anything. Well, he's welched on me plenty, I can tell you. But that's a story for a different day. So I've made my mistakes that were of my own doing. But just like you, I've also awakened and found myself in circumstances that were somewhat beyond my control. And now it's, okay, what are you going to do with this? How are you going to deal with this? Have you ever found yourself on a toll road? You see coming up ahead that you're entering a toll road and you've got a meeting and you need to get to the meeting. And the only way to really get to the meeting, so far as you know, is the toll road. And you realize, and we're not talking a big toll here. We're talking, I think it was $1.25. This is a true story. $1.25. And I'm desperately looking at the signs to see if it will tell me how much. Because I know I got nothing. Like most of our cars, I knew I had some change in the console of the car. And I'm looking. I'm following someone, by the way. So that adds to the pressure. I'm following someone to an office. And I got no money. I mean, I've got nothing. I do not have a dollar to my name. And we get to the toll and I'm scrambling for the whatever mileage we're driving between the time we entered the toll road till we got off of the toll road, and it was $1.25. Now I'm driving and I'm following somebody, so I can't pull over and just scour the car. I mean, I'm doing this on the fly. So picture this. That's desperate now. I clawed through the console and, you know, everything else that I could do. I didn't have it. The person that I was following paid his toll and said, I'm paying for that car behind me. And they waved me through. And I thought, I don't have $1.25. I don't have $1.25 to get through a toll. Yeah, you ever had that? Some of you have. Some of you got stories that'll trump that one. Guys, this is especially to you. Have you ever just broken down in front of your wife because you just felt like such a miserable, abject failure? Yeah, well, you're listening to a voice of a guy who has. Now, we can talk about guys beating themselves up. We can talk all about, you can go anywhere you want to with any of this stuff. I am not a psychologist, but I've done that. Been there, done it. I know what it feels like. You ever been in a situation where maybe you tried to sell something? I remember many years ago, I always had electronic equipment because I was in that game, but I found myself in a difficult time, having tried a venture and not succeeded at it. Was talking with a buddy on the phone, and I had a particular kind of a piece of gear that he seemed interested in, and I was doing everything I could to sell it. $100. $100. $100 that would have made, at the time for me, it would have made all the difference in the world. $100. No, I didn't tell him how desperate I was. I was just trying to encourage him. I even kept coming down on the prize. No, I don't need that, he said. I didn't make it happen. I remember hanging up the phone and thinking, you know, it would have made all the difference in the world. How can we be at a place where a dollar and a quarter would have made all the difference in the world? How can we be at a place where $100 would make all the difference in the world? Well, there are a lot of people who are there. Do I know what that's like? I absolutely know what that's like. Have I forgotten what that's like? I absolutely have not forgotten what that's like. And that's the purpose of today's show. To let you know, I've not forgotten what that's like. I know what that's like. I get it. I'm not sitting here in a place that I affectionately call the Yellow Studio, holding forth as though, you know, come on, you can, you know, I'm all for the cheerleading. I'm all for the encouraging. I'm all for the inspiring, but I'm also for pulling back and sharing with people. You know, life is full of pain and we all have to deal with it. And just because you may get on the internet or you may see somebody who seems to be holding forth and it just seems like, man, everything is just great. Their life is wonderful. You know, don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you see. Because when you shell it all down, we're still all human beings and we still all have difficulties and problems and challenges and struggles and pain and sorrow. I'm not sure when I'm going to release this, but as I'm recording it, I don't mind telling you it is April the 17th, 2013, 2 days ago, 2 afternoons ago. Yes. Sorry. It's what happens when you don't turn your ringer off. 2 days ago, we had the Boston, the Boston Marathon situation. We've had the Newtown, Connecticut situation. Meanwhile, the same day that we had the tragedy in Boston, Iran suffered a major earthquake. Last report I saw killed 40 people. There's pain and suffering all around us, and yes, it would be easy for us to get our head in a tube and think, you know, why? I mean, just why? With some interest, I read comments, especially, you know, at big news blogs like Time Magazine or the New York Times, and these events that happen, and invariably somebody's going to get on there and say, you know, some atheist is going to get on there and say, you know, well, if there is a God, how could God allow this to happen and that to happen and this other to happen? Well, these are just uninformed people who lack understanding. sin. You want to know why? You want to know why the bombing in Boston happened? It wasn't God's fault. Some sinful, wicked individual who behaved in a sinful way became a murderer. That's why. Doesn't have anything to do with God. If God were in the picture, I'm going to tell you, wouldn't have happened. If that person would have been living a life based on what God would want for us, it wouldn't have happened. No, I'm not going to preach at you, but it really irks me when I see individuals take off on those kinds of tangents with ill-founded logic. Besides that, if you don't believe in God, then come on, how can you blame God anyway? You don't even believe he exists, so it's not God's fault. He's not real, remember? Well, he is real. I believe so. And the only reason that I bring that up is because when bad things happen in my life as a Christian, I have to go there. I have got to go there. I can't sit back and say, well, I'm in control, God. I got this. You just don't worry about it. That's just human pride and arrogance. I'm going to tell you flat out, I need God. And I'm going to confess to you that there are probably times that I need God and I should display that need greater than I do. Because like you, I battle that whole self-sufficiency thing. I battle that whole, I got this. I can do this. Well, you know what? There are sometimes I can't do this. There are sometimes that I don't know what to do. There are sometimes that I'm driving in the car and I got a dollar and a quarter toll coming up and I don't have it. I got no way to get it. Now, there are people that would think that there was some miraculous thing and that the car in front of me that I was following paid my toll. I don't believe that. I believe the New Testament teaches the age of miracles has ceased. We now have the complete, full, revealed word of God. That's what guides my life. I'm not saying that's what guides your life. I think it should, but again, that's a different topic. But I've been there where I knew I don't have it within my own power. Right now, I can't come up with a buck and a quarter. I mean, come on. Does it get any more desperate than that? Well, sure, it gets more desperate than that for some people. Some people need a buck and a quarter not to pay a toll, but to buy food. That's a whole different scenario. That's a completely different scenario. That's a far worse state. So I'm not sitting here trying to win some battle of my life is worse than yours. That's not the point. The point is when you get down and out and you think nobody understands what it's like to not have enough money to repair the air conditioner or replace the hot water heater, you're listening to somebody who knows. You're listening to somebody who knows what $100 would have done, what a dollar and a quarter would have done. Yeah, and the same guy that, you know, wrote a check, sent $50,000 to a business acquaintance, fully believing that it was all on the up and up and things would turn out well. Okay, well, they didn't. Now, what do you do with all that? Well, I'll tell you what I sometimes do with all of that is I don't feel sorry for myself, but I feel foolish. I feel stupid. I feel like a failure. I feel like you moron. You know, you can't figure this out. How stupid can you be? You ever feel that way? Sure. Lots of us feel that way. And maybe there's a degree of truth to it. Maybe there's a degree of truth to my own idiocy and my own stupidity, my own naivete, my own willingness to trust someone that perhaps isn't worthy of it. Maybe there's something to be said for venturing and risking and putting oneself in harm's way and then realizing I need a buck and a quarter and I don't have it. I get that. I'm not negating any of that. Here's what I am negating. What good does it do to just languish there? What good does it do to just stay there? Aren't you better to say, tough time? You know what? I got beyond the dollar and a quarter stage. I got beyond the $100. I got beyond the 50,000. Could I use the 50 grand today? Well, of course, who couldn't? But, you know, is it going to absolutely bury me that I don't have it? Thankfully, no. Thankfully, no. Would it make a difference in my life? Absolutely, it would. But I don't have it. And it doesn't look like it's coming anytime soon. What am I going to do about that? Nothing. I have zero control over that situation. And I guess there's the point. Number one, what you can control, control it. Namely, yourself, your behavior, your conduct, your reaction, your words, your beliefs. Be in control of those things. And along with that, I've got to emphasize number two, and that is to realize that you're not in control. There are other forces at work. Nature is at work. Earthquake in Iran. Evil is at work. Boston Marathon bombing. The world is full of wicked, sinful people. The world is also full of great, terrific people who want to help. It's just us. We just have to be able to discern the difference, and that sometimes is very, very hard. And the internet doesn't make it any easier, because all that glitters is not gold. Yes, I'm going to encourage you to seek faith. I'm going to encourage you to actually sit down and read an ancient book. Yeah, you know the book, the Bible. It may not be for you what you think it should be. I think it is for you what you need. I think it's what we all need. But regardless of where you are on the timeline of faith versus no faith, you're not alone. The difficulties and the problems that affect your life today, there are countless many others who are facing the exact same or worse situation or circumstance. The question is, now what? Now what? Given this information, given this state, what am I going to do? Where am I going to turn? How am I going to cope? How am I going to get through this? And I think I've got to end with a word that I'm really fond of, and that word is tenacity. You absolutely have got to be tenacious to get through this, and you will. You've had these difficulties before, and you've emerged. Yeah, some have lasted a lot longer than others, and some you didn't think would ever end. But they do. Sometimes they end and here comes something much bigger, much worse. And man, we didn't see that coming. You have to persevere. You have to be tenacious. You have to be determined. You got to get back up. Full well knowing you might be knocked down again, but it doesn't matter. Still, you're going to get up. Because getting up is better than just staying down. Keep moving. Keep adapting. Keep learning. Lean on other people. Don't try to go this alone. You got to have people that love you and care about you. And you got to have people that you love and care about. And don't be selfish. Don't be foolish. Don't do anything stupid and drastic that would bring pain to others. Stay the course. Keep the faith. Press on. I'd love to tell you what prompted today's show, but I'm not going to. just know this, there are other people who are suffering. There are other people who have pain. There are other people who are facing dilemmas that they don't see a way out. I know some of you. And because I know some of you, I thought, you know, this is so universal. Other people need to hear this. I know it's not uplifting. I know it's not kumbaya. I want it to be uplifting in the sense that at least if you have some awareness that we get in these false states where we believe that life is grand for everybody but us. And it's not true. It's just not true. Life is grand. Life has moments of grandeur, but it also has moments of deep, deep pain and suffering and challenge and obstacles. And okay, welcome to the human race. Congratulations, you're not immune. So don't keep your head down too terribly long because, well, there are other people that need you. Whatever your pain is, whatever your suffering is, I'm going to tell you one of the best remedies for it is to reach out and to help other people. Is there a reason why I attract people who have their toes off the ledge? Yeah, because it helps me. Maybe not directly, but just knowing that, okay, here's somebody that I can do something for, and let's do this. Let's do this. Yeah, granted, sometimes I can go overboard, and there's not anywhere near enough in the tank for me to even take care of myself and get myself back home, but yeah, it's a work in progress. The website is Bula, B-U-L-A, stands for life. Life is good. It's a Fiji term. I think it is, hence the name BulaNetwork.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. This is the Yellow Studio.